Hey everybody, welcome back to Spiritual Conversations with your host, Drake Miller. I am so excited to be back. I know last week I was not able to come to y'all, and that's because we've had so much going on. We had wonderful anniversary services at Restoration Apostolic. If you were there, I hope you were blessed. I know everyone that I have talked to was evangelist Tim Green and his wonderful wife, Sister Lois Green, came and ministered such timely and wonderful messages. Everyone was blessed. I hope you got to be there. But we had a lot going on that weekend, and so it gave all of us time to rest, recuperate, get some stuff done. I know everyone has been busy, so I hope no matter where you've been, if you've been in service, if you have been at work all the time, wherever you've been, I hope you've been able to rest this past week, be with friends and family, no matter where you're at. I know we have now celebrated Mother's Day, so I know that can be exciting for a lot of people. It can be hard for a lot of people, but I hope no matter where you found yourself that you felt loved, felt cherished, and you had a wonderful weekend of making memories with friends and family. I'm going to get right into the word for today. We are four episodes in on the journey to answering the question, what makes the difference? And it has been such a wonderful journey. I have learned an incredible amount of things about the Lord and about this precious salvation that has been given unto the saints. And I hope that you, no matter if you're living this life or if you are wondering about this life, if you're wondering about a walk with God, I hope this has really helped you to find some answers to questions you've been asking. And we have explored so much in the past episodes, whether you have been with us or not. We have discussed so many details concerning Jesus Christ and the good news of the kingdom. And over the past two episodes, we have discussed entrance into the kingdom. And we know this includes repentance, water baptism in Jesus' name for the remissions of sins, and receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost as was spoken by John, Christ, and most notably Peter in Acts 2:38. And 2 weeks ago, we dove into repentance. We saw how it's much more than feeling remorse or sorrow for something that we have done, but it's a longing to change. And last week, we talked about how water baptism washes away all the sins of our past. When we have repented of all the wrong we've done, when we have put our faith in Jesus Christ, knowing He is the Son of the living God, able to save us, then we are washed in His blood, signified by water, and all of our past is washed away, our sins are washed away, and we are now cleansed. And we find this scripturally, right? When the Lord made a call to repentance through Isaiah, His call to repentance also included a call to washing. For He said, wash you and make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless and plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. What a wonderful promise. If you be willing and obedient, Scripture says, and we can now read that to read, if you believe and are baptized, you shall eat of the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. These words spoken directly from the mouth of the Lord, according to Scripture, gives us very clear teaching on what we are to do in this kingdom. We must repent. We must turn from our wicked ways and seek His face, and we must be washed and baptized. We can be assured that for Israel and for now, if we believe and are baptized, we shall be saved. If we believe not, we shall be damned. It's so simple. God made it so plain in His Word. I hope that every one of us can get this. I hope something grips us even while we're listening, that we can follow all the commandments of the Lord, especially those concerning the entrance into the kingdom of God, for without following these, nothing else really matters. Friend, it's not His will that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. That's why He's given us instruction through His Word. That's why He's helped us know how to get into this kingdom. Both Old and New Testaments, He's given us words and examples of this, how to get into this kingdom. And if this were the end of the story, then great. But see, my friend, it's not. There's one more piece. See, repentance is when we ask the Lord to forgive us of our sins. It's when we repent of what we have done. We change our minds about repentance, ourselves, and Christ. It's when we have a longing to change our hearts so that we can act differently, acting in a manner which pleases God. And water baptism takes care of our past. But so far, our future hasn't been dealt with. We have repented of our past and we've longed to have a change of heart, but as a theology professor said one time, we as humans have no power to change our own heart. Only God can do that. We can't ourselves do right, no matter how much we wish to do. For even Paul said, "Those things which I wish not to do, I do. And those things that I wish I could do, I'm unable." What Paul talks about completely in this passage is basically this. We need a helper to change our heart, to help us live the way that is right in the sight of the Lord. When you commit to living for the Lord, what you are saying is you love God. And Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Now, we need to dive into what this means, lest many of us fall into the idea that keep my commandments is some simple thing. When you look at the Old Testament, you'll find a sum of 613 commandments, which can be extracted, and we refer to this as the law. But when you look at the New Testament, there are 1,050 commandments. That means there are 437 more commandments in the New Testament than there are in the Old Testament. And I'm about to walk through all these categories. There are seven abstains, seven things to avoid, three things to ask, two things to awake to, 74 things to be, 30 things not to be, four things to believe, one thing not to believe, 14 things to be aware of, two classes to bless, three things to cast out, one thing to cast away, five things to charge, two classes to conform, five things to consider, three things to continue in, two things to covet, 10 things to do, 10 things not to do, two things to endure, one person we are to fear. Do you get the point yet? There's three things not to fear. There's five things to feed, four things to flee from, 10 things to follow, seven things about giving, five go commandments, seven things to have, 14 things to hold, seven things to keep, six things to lay aside, 100 things to let be, 42 let us commandments, 12 let not commandments, 8 let us not commandments, 3 ways to live, 4 commands to love, 2 things not to love, 3 ways to love, 1 person to pray to, 5 things to pray for, 2 ways to not pray, 3 ways to pray, 4 things to prove, 8 things to put away, 6 things to put off, 12 things to put on, 1 class to rebuke, 3 things to rebuke, 2 ways to rebuke, 2 commands to rejoice. And there's still more. There's 4 things to rejoice in. There's 5 things to remember, 4 things to seek, 1 commandment to stand fast, 3 things to stand fast with, 5 things to stand in, 8 things to think on, 1 way to think, 5 commands to submit, 12 things to take, 18 things to take heed to, 4 thou shalts, 8 thou shalt nots, 2 ways not to walk, 7 things to walk in, and over 200 miscellaneous commandments. And out of all of these, within ourselves, we can't even get the most important two right. That thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is likened unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And not to mention that concerning love, the Lord said these words, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye may also love one another. By this all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have loved one to another. Within ourselves, we can't possibly do the first two, not to mention all the other 1,048. My friends, it sounds like we need a helper. We need help. We need a helper. I mean, in order for us to remember all those commandments, know them and do them according to the Lord, and do them with the right mentality as unto the Lord and not unto man, that is out of and above any realm of human reasoning or ability. We need a supernatural helper. And thankfully, we have one. We do have access to a helper. And this helper doesn't just walk beside us. He lives in us. When we submit to this helper, walking for God becomes less about law and more about relationship. It becomes joy and not a heartache. It's the best decision you will ever make. Now, considering all these commandment types I just listed out to you, which when fully expounded upon make up 1,050 commandments, it seems like a pretty heavy load. But Christ said this, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. Not just your body, but your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, how can the yoke of Jesus Christ and this new covenant be easy and the burden light? And how can Peter say that the law, being 437 commandments fewer than this new covenant, be so heavy that neither the disciples nor their fathers were able to bear them? Because in this new, more perfect covenant, the one in which Hebrews continually refers to as better, it's a better covenant, we have a helper. In this covenant, we have a supernatural helper. And in that Old Testament, this wasn't the case. Not in the same way it is today. What I mean is, in this New Testament, the Lord offers as a gift to live inside of us, guiding us, perfecting us, and helping us fulfill each and every commandment, thus being able to love Him and not be separate from Him. In that Old Testament, this was not the case, and men were left to grapple in their own inadequacies, trying to meet a law which they could not within themselves fulfill. Now, the problem was not with the law of the Old Testament, for we know that the law of the Lord is perfect. It was a perfect expression of the righteousness of God, but it could not and did not make anything perfect. It just ushered in a better hope, a hope for a helper, whose name is Jesus Christ. The old law, when you read it and when they lived it, just leads to a new covenant or a new law, which includes a helper. And Jesus Christ, you have to know, Jesus Christ came not to destroy this law, but He came to fulfill this law because no other man could ever have. And He gave a new covenant or a new commandment, which is also perfect. And He gave us a helper that helps us achieve the law. Let me tell you about this helper. To tell you about this helper, I'm going to go to the Gospel of John because John has more insight into who Jesus Christ is and His nature than any other gospel. When Jesus Christ was speaking and He said, if you love me, keep my commandments, it was in the same exact passage where He Himself promised the Holy Spirit, which is our helper. The Lord said, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, with that word being helper, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and he shall be in you. He won't just be with you or around you, but he'll be in you. That's the promise of this helper. See, right after the Lord said, if you love me, keep my commandments, he immediately promised a helper, a supernatural helper which comes from our Heavenly Father, God Almighty, to help us love Jesus by way of doing his commandments. He said that this helper would abide or dwell inside of us forever, meaning he will always be with us, never leaving us nor forsake us. And this helper is also called the Spirit of Truth. He is promising to bring all truth to us, to write it on the tablets of our hearts so we might not sin against God. Jesus Christ himself later said on this that the Spirit of Truth will come to guide us in all truth, for he shall not speak of himself or by his own authority, but whatsoever he shall hear, that he shall speak, and he shall show you things to come. The Spirit of Truth has come to set all men free. For all men who know the truth shall be free. So all men who know this Spirit of Truth, all men who have had an encounter with the Spirit of Truth, shall be free. And then after that, it's come to guide us in all truth, leading us to always walk with God, following his commandments, and to be a witness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And is that not what was promised by the Lord in the Old Testament concerning this new spirit? When the Lord spoke through his servant Ezekiel concerning what he was to do for Israel and soon the whole world, he said, I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. And I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and I will give them an heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep mine ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. So those who have this new spirit and this new heart, he is their God, and they are his people. This passage shows us the Old Testament prophecy concerning this helper that we now can freely access. And when the Lord promised a new heart, this new heart, above being a new physical heart, means all of our feelings, our will, and even our intellect, basically the center of everything. So God, through cleansing us from our sins, wants to establish in every person a new center of existence to be in alignment with him. He wants to give us new feelings and emotions, a new will, being that of a will to do what is right in the sight of the Lord. And he wants to give us new intellect, for there is wisdom and knowledge that can only come from the Spirit of the Lord, and even wisdom and knowledge concerning all things that are to come. So, see, when we have this helper, we can have wisdom and knowledge about the end of all things, when our world currently is going crazy and out of orbit. When we have this helper, we don't have to live in fear of what's going on. We can live in confidence because we have wisdom and knowledge from our helper to endure. So this new heart that God gives us and this new spirit he puts in us is all wrapped up in that comforter or that helper that Jesus said would come, and he was speaking of the Holy Ghost. And the Lord continued talking on in John, and he said, I will not leave you comfortless, for I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But you see me, and because I live, ye shall live also. And at that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. And here we see yet another promise of that helper, or the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And he went on to say that because he lives, we can live, and we shall know that he and his Father are one, and we are one in him, and he is one in us. We become inseparable with Jesus Christ. This is the power of the Helper. We become sons of God, taking on the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We're grafted into the family of God when we have this Helper. He doesn't ever leave us. When we have taken on this Spirit, being the Spirit of God, we have Jesus Christ living inside of us. For did He not say that He would always be with us? And a father would never leave his children. And we're children of God. We have the Spirit of God Almighty. The same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ up from the dead lives inside of us. And the Spirit of God itself bears witness of this, Scripture says, bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if we be children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, we may also be glorified together with Him. So what am I saying? I'm saying that when we receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, when we receive this Helper into our life, not only will He help us serve the Lord with gladness, following all His commandments and doing it as unto the Lord, but He will be our Comforter, never leaving us nor forsaking us. When we receive this Helper and Comforter, we become children of God, and the Lord Himself lives inside of us while we be on this earth and prepares us to receive our reward with Him in heaven, being forever with Him in eternity. Wherever you go, whatever you do, you have the Lord with you and inside of you. Friend, you need this Helper. I need this Helper. And the Lord continued on even more and said, He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. The Lord here reminds us it is only he who has his commandments and does his commandments that loves him. And it's only that person that he will show himself to. Only those who have the Spirit of God, only those who have come in contact with this Helper, and only those who have the commandments of the Lord and does them have a special access to seeing the Lord in a different way. So friend, you not only need this Helper, but I promise you want this Helper. Now, even though a lot of this may have sounded convincing, that last statement about conditional manifestation, more simply stated, just Jesus' statement that he would only show himself to those who love him by doing his commandments, that caused Judas to ask a question. And you may be wondering the same thing. Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, so not Judas Iscariot, he said, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? And Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and he will come unto him, and will make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the world which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. So what Jesus said here is this, those who love me and keep my commandments, my Father, who is the Spirit, will come unto him and will make our abode with him. The Lord will actually come and dwell or make his house with us. The promise is, if we have the Spirit of God, the Lord will actually come build in us a habitation for himself by the Spirit, a promise that's reinstated by Paul. But if one does not follow his commandments, thus professing to not love God, that person is counted to be none of God's. For if you have not the Spirit of God, you're none of His. You're still a child of disobedience. And Scripture says of that person, the Lord will recompense their way upon their own heads. Friend, the Lord makes it very clear. Without having His Spirit inside of you, you're none of His. You must have the Helper. But you want the Helper because He does so much for His children. And Jesus continues after answering Judas's question. But the Comforter, or the Helper, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, in Jesus' name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And here is one of the most beautiful promises of the Helper. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Friend, when we have this Helper, we have peace that cometh from above. And this is a peace not as the Lord gives, not as the world, gives, but it is a peace which passes all understanding. This kind of peace, God peace, transcends all understanding and will guard our hearts and our minds in Jesus Christ. This kind of peace puts the mind of Christ inside of us that we may not be overtaken by our circumstance, but we may realize that in every situation our help cometh from the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth. This Helper I'm talking to you about, He is our Helper, our Comforter, our Peace Giver, our way to truth, the one who can keep us from falling. He's our source of joy. He is to us a list inexhaustible. I can't tell you all about Him, but I can try. He gives us wisdom and knowledge. He causes us to bear the fruit of the Holy Ghost, being love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. And there's more that this Helper does. The Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for when we know not what we should pray, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. When we don't know how to pray or what to pray for, when there's so much we need to pray for and our world seems to be closing in around us, the Spirit will pray for us, making intercession for us to the Father, who will help us in our circumstance because He's our Helper. In doing this, the Helper ensures that all things work together for the good to them that love God and to them who are called according to His purpose. Listen to me, my friend. When Jesus Christ was speaking to His disciples and to us, He warned them of persecution, telling them that some of them may even experience death because of Him. But you know what else He told them? Because they all would experience such diverse temptation and be scattered abroad, He in the flesh couldn't be with all of them at one time. So He said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter or this Helper will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you." He left in the flesh so He could be in each and every one of us, helping us at all times, no matter where all of us may find ourselves. Friend, this message is so good. I hope you realize that there's really too much for me to tell about this Helper. So to all that this Helper does, and there's so much that I haven't even scratched the surface of it, I say, what shall we say to all these things? If God be for us, if we have this Helper living inside of us, who or what can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? All things, whatever in heaven and earth, are not so great a display of God's free love as the gift of his Son to be the atonement on the cross for the sin of man. And all the rest follows upon union with him, an interest in him. Everything we should desire and receive is dependent upon us being in alignment with this helper. That same helper raised Jesus, and that same helper can be with us. And all we need is to come in contact with this helper. And if God would not leave Christ in the grave, how or why would he leave us, also being his children, in this world alone? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. If we have the Spirit, which I've told you about, we're justified. That means our God fights for and defends us. He's our helper. And who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. When we have this Spirit, when we have this helper, no one can come and just condemn us. We have Christ, the ruler of the universe, making intercession for us. He's standing in the gap, protecting us. He's our helper. And who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Through this Spirit, through this helper, we are more than conquerors. This helper who is triumphant over all things makes us triumphant over all things. Why wouldn't you want in on this? I want to help you. So just stay on a little bit more and I'll help you get plugged into the Spirit, this helper. Therefore, having this Spirit, having this helper in me, I say unto you, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall ever be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's because I have this helper. Now, how do we get in on this? How do we access this helper? Our key scripture for exploring salvation has been Acts 2:38, when Peter said unto those men, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That means it's a gift. After you have repented and been baptized, the Lord, being our Father, who only gives the best of gifts, will give us the Holy Ghost, which is our helper. He gives it freely. As I have often said, in Acts 2:38, there are two things we must do, and the other thing our Father just gives us. So you may ask, okay, Drake, how do I know that I've received this Holy Ghost? How do I do it? How can I be sure that I've got it? Let me help you with that, both initially and continually. When the Holy Ghost fell the first time on the day of Pentecost, there is a record that we find that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord and in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And watch this. This is what I need you to hear. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. When these men were filled with the Holy Ghost, they spoke with other tongues, or tongues different than what they normally spoke. And we know this to be true because those around the men who were speaking other tongues, Scripture says they were confounded. because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers of Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia and Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and in all parts of Libya about Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. We do hear them speak. Listen at this. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. On the day of Pentecost, all those men who were Galileans spoke in as many as 16 different languages, speaking the wonderful works of God. Friend, that's what speaking in tongues is. It's speaking the wonderful works of God in a language above that which we can understand. And this evidence of speaking in tongues, which is understood as the Spirit of God praying through us, is among the first evidence of a believer, as spoken by Christ when he said, And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So, friend, if we're to be counted as one of God's children, if we're to be rightfully called a believer, we shall speak with new tongues. Christ said it himself. It's a promise so simple. I want you to get this. And friend, all I'm doing today is trying to get you plugged in with this helper. And this scripture is in the same passage when Jesus said, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And we know from last week, Jesus Christ is speaking of baptism in water, and also baptism in the Holy Ghost by fire. For if you will recall, this is what John the Baptist said Jesus came to do. He said, I baptize in water unto repentance, but there's one whose shoes I'm not worthy to do anything with that will baptize you in fire. So friend, Jesus came and did all his wonderful things. Jesus came and died on that cross so you could have access to this helper. He wants to baptize you in this helper. You must be baptized with the Holy Ghost. And the evidence is speaking in other tongues. So I end with this question. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? If you have, praise God. Be sure to pray in the Holy Ghost, building up your most holy faith, and be sure you always bear the fruit of the Spirit. Because if we aren't bearing fruit, we find ourselves in a position where the tree can only be identified by the fruit it bears. But if you haven't, if you have not accessed this helper, stop right now and pray to receive this helper. Pull over on the side of the road. Take your lunch break. Call your pastor and ask him to lay hands on you, whatever you've got to do. If I had to receive the Holy Ghost every single day, fresh and new, I would do it before breakfast because it's that important. Just don't miss out on this. Don't miss out on this helper. I hope this has helped you today. I know it's a little bit longer and we're going to get it back down, but I felt like these two last topics have really needed some explanation and really some encouragement. Because I know there's something that's talked about a lot. I really wanted to help us. I hope you're blessed. I sure hope you have peace and joy. I hope you are baptized with the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus right now, if you've never had it. And if you have, get it again. Get it more. Be refilled. Have so much of it that it just runs out of you. If you have a home church, I pray you and your church are blessed this week. But if you don't, and you're in the Athens, Winterville area, I would love for you to be my guest at Restoration Apostolic Church, 110 Moores Grove Road, Winterville, Georgia. There is a seat waiting for you. If you don't have a home church and you don't live near here, reach out to me, please. I would love to help you find a home church. We've got plenty of wonderful places that you could get plugged in across the state, across the U.S., and across the globe. So thank you very much. And until next time, be blessed.